Steven, what do you say? We take it to the max.
Let's rock.
I have to tell you, you really have become one of my favorite people to talk to. I'll be the first to admit, I like people, period, in general. I take to them really quickly. If they're a cool person, you're really cool. Like, it's just been really fun to get to know you. So thank you for being such a cool person.
Likewise, I'm really, you know, anything I do, I try to do it to the max. And so I'm trying to take that favorite person title from your business partner. I've seen the other shows and tell him I'm gunning for a spot.
I will. I will warn him. He's been slacking a little bit. So I'm going to be like, Brandon, you better watch out. Steven's coming for you. He's the type. He's highly competitive, though. So it could be just that thing. I may end up with two favorites.
LaDonna's going to win. So that's all that matters to us.
That's all that matters to me. Thank you. Thank you for meeting me over here. Thank you for doing this with me. Let's back up a little bit, though, because I want to give people the full introduction to you. And part of what makes you so cool is your backstory. So you are the CEO of Redder. Redder is a mortgage and real estate data company, but you didn't just jump right into this. This wasn't your first gig. Walk me through your backstory.
Yeah, happy to. Thank you for giving me that opportunity. You're currently sitting in Reston headquarters of Redder, which is really just my basement. This is how we started. This is how we do everything. But the way I got into Redder and selling mortgage and real estate data was by complete accident, which is probably what you hear from most people that get into mortgage or real estate. It's always an accident, right?
People died to be in this industry. They're just so excited about it. Everyone, I know for me, at least, I was in kindergarten and I was like, I really want to be in the mortgage education space. That seems like a legit opportunity.
Yeah, that tracks. My other classmates. I'm either going to play NBA, NFL, or go into mortgage. That's exactly. We must have gone to the same school. But no, I'm from Northern Virginia, and most people think we're West Coast because we're technology. We're the complete opposite. So in Northern Virginia, we're near DC. I used to work for the White House. And so this is a bit of that story. But in this area, it's the suburbs. You either have a government job or you get a consulting job, contracting for the government. The playbook is this. You go to college, you get that government or contracting job. You raise a family, you grow your pension or 401k, you rinse and repeat. And I was so all about that life. Like I went to Virginia Tech for engineering. I worked at Booz Allen and Deloitte. And I was like, you know what? It's time for me to slow down, have a family. And if I'm going to have a family, I'm going to go get that government job now. So I went as far as to get that government job. Everything was rolling right along. I even knew how to retire at the age of 55 without any tax consequences. Like I had everything all planned out. I was never supposed to be in mortgage or real estate. But then all of a sudden I bought and sold my first houses. And I'm like, really? Was this it? Like, I'm trying to get help in buying this house and running into professionals that can't answer my questions. And then I look at the settlement statement. And I'm like, you got paid for doing what? And I got really upset about it. And so I told my buddy, Steve, that I've known since eighth grade. I called him up. I said, Steve, that was such a stressful process. I'm very unhappy with how it went. Like, there's gotta be a better way. And so we went and tried to build a reverse home search tool where sellers could search for buyers, get rid of that hassle, the headache, save a bunch of money, all that kind of stuff. I was like, this is gonna be the way. It makes so much sense. We built it and it helped a lot of people, but that's what I learned. Like, oh, you really have to build something that people want. And while I was building that, what was that back in around 2013 time? I know this because my wife was carrying our firstborn, or my daughter back there. She's 11 now, but I realized later how upset my wife was at me because I was spending all the nights and weekends not sleeping, building this thing, going out to random people on Craigslist saying, let me help you find your buyer. You don't have to pay me any commission. They're like, who's this crazy guy? But I saved a lot of people the time, energy, and headache. And they're like, Steve, you should really get your real estate license. But I'm like, no, I refuse. I'm an engineer. I'm not a realtor. And so I like refused that for a long, long time. And finally, I caved in. I got my license and I started selling homes. So now I'm a realtor. And then I was like, oh, crap. I was like, Steve, other Steve, my buddy Steve. I was like, dude, we've had this wrong the whole time. Realtors are some really good people out there that are just trying to help their friends and family and then try to feed their own family. I'm like, dude, there's lots of good people trying to do good work out there. We screwed up. Let's fix this. We already know now from our last venture, everyone's going to want to work with a realtor because it's such a stressful transaction, right? High dollar, high stress, very emotional. They're always going to want a realtor. Let's make sure they're working with the best realtors. And let's promote quality over quantity. And so I'm like, how do we do that? And I'm like, you know, like I, as a realtor, like we could play mind games with consumers all day if we wanted to, but a salesperson cannot trick another salesperson. So realtor tricking realtor, not really going to happen. So I said, Steve, we got to build a system where realtors are rating each other. And so like, that's the only way, right? To get quality, to judge professional quality. So we built that thing up and then we had like 400,000 agents logging into it from around the country using it.
Good Lord, that's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like during this time, so I've still got my government job. I'm a realtor. I've got this other startup, but I'm starting to get calls from mortgage companies, title companies. They're trying to take me out to earn my business as a realtor. And then they learn, oh, you built that other system. Wow. Can I throw a bunch of money at you to advertise your realtors? And at this point, I'm no longer Steve the engineer. I'm like, I'm Steve the realtor. These are my people. I'm not going to sell out my people. So no, I don't care how many thousands of dollars you throw at me. Like, I will not sell out my own kind. And so we built that. 400,000 people are using it. But what I learned is like realtors don't like to really pay for anything. And so I've got this company, but I've still got all my other jobs. I'm now also flipping homes and I've got a rental portfolio. I've got like five jobs at this point, doing them all, sleeping less as per usual. Wife is less angry at me because I'm like, oh, I get it now. I'm going to be a better husband and a good father. Right. Always going to be there for the kids. And so then, okay. But then fast forward, like pandemic market's winding down. And for the previous year, you couldn't get anyone to return your call, any loan officer to return a call or text. It was impossible now. And so one day I had like five calls from five different LOs. And around the third call, where they're all trying to take me out to lunch or coffee again, I realized like this stuff that's been happening over the past 10 years, I was like, I get it. Like I finally understand loan officers are looking to build business relationships with realtors because realtors are their number one referral source. And that's why everyone's trying to take me out. But then a top realtor doesn't need another lunch buddy, another coffee buddy. The things that top producers value most are time and money. So how can you give it to them? And I was like, wait a minute. I know exactly what that is. As a top realtor, I know exactly how I got here. And I'm going to build that system and put it into the hands of LOs so that when they're approaching realtors, they can provide something really meaningful to them. And I felt so strongly about this because, you know, I could have built this and given it to realtors, but having done real estate for so long now, like fairness is a huge thing to me. Mm-hmm. And so throughout the process, you know, realtors tend to take the credit for the home buying process, but you're not really going to buy a home without a loan officer. And I felt like these loan officers weren't getting enough credit. And the folks that I want to help out, like I can give a loan here or there too, but I was like, it's not enough. And so I'm like, let me put you more front and center. Let me build this tool that you could then use to provide back to your realtor base to help them do their jobs better so that they can get more referrals, so that they can do a better job as a fiduciary protecting their buyers and sellers. And I'm like, I'm going to give it to you and they're going to become like, you're going to become a more critical part of the process and it's going to kind of level it out a little bit so that it's not just HGTV, but now mortgage is about to get sexy.
Yeah, and so that's the first time anyone has ever said that, because let's be real, this is the least sexy part of a transaction. There are so many TV shows based off of realtors because that is the sexier side of things. No one's looking at data and like, how am I going to really poise this to go get more business? Oh, I got it. So this was ingenious on your part. Ingenious. It is such a fascinating backstory. And I feel like everything you just said, I'm like, there are 19 different elements that I want to go through and like try to dissect. So being that you have all of this experience, being that you've seen the transactions from all points and sides of things, there's a lot of unknowns in the industry right now. Where do you see the opportunity lying for LOs in 2025? What do you think are the biggest areas of opportunity?
Yeah, I like it a lot. I like that things are normalizing out. I know there's been a lot of fear. People have been waiting for rates to drop, and now everyone's saying, oh, doesn't look like it looks like we're higher for longer.
Yeah, and then they just are what they are.
Realtor loan officers are leaving. Like, what's going on? Is this the apocalypse? It's not. It's really exciting because there's been so much pent up demand. Someone's got to serve it. So with more loan officers leaving, that's more opportunities for the one that stick around to build better, more meaningful relationships and to get more loans on this year. Because now the consumer mindset, like the consumer, they read the headlines and they assume whatever is in the headlines is reality. So if they're reading, this is the status quo, they're like, all right, let's just pull the trigger now. They're not saying, let's wait for the 1% drop. It's like, here you are. And now who's going to help? The loan officers that are here and sticking around.
Let's track back just a little bit. So You and I initially connected because I saw, okay, full story of it. I had never heard of Redder. And one day it comes up in conversations with Brandon, my director of education, brings up Redder. He called you Reader. And I was like, who? Right? Never have I heard of this. And he's like, oh, they're a data company. I'm like, okay, cool. Get on my LinkedIn. And I was connecting with someone else for a panel that we were doing in New England. And I go to their profile to connect with them. And there's your face. And there's your infographic on the drop in LOs. And I'm like, okay, well, that's time number two that this person has come up in a matter of 45 minutes. So then I go to your website and I see a third person that I've just connected with. And they're a testimonial on your site. And after that, that's when I was like, okay, hold up. Obviously, the universe is speaking to me and they're putting this here for a reason. Like, I need to reach out. So I reached out to you via LinkedIn, via what, you know, is what I'm assuming typical for you, because you're just the coolest. You replied with the coolest answer and you were like, yeah, I'd love to connect. Let's chat. So we started chatting. And again, I'm seeing that there is everything that you're saying lines up and matches with exactly who I think you are. I think that your interest in making sure that both agents and MLOs are getting the most out of a transaction that they can, that they're providing the highest quality of experience for their consumers, that they're learning how to utilize the data to make themselves better and to understand where they should be putting their focus. All of that matches up completely with what I've seen in you. So being that we have that out of the way, we know that we're here, rates are going to stay here longer term, etc. The opportunity exists because there's going to be that pent-up demand. Let's now talk about where you pull that data from, though, because that was kind of that linking factor. That was such a long way to get around to it. But here we are. That is the linking factor of how we initially connected, was this drop in LOs that you released in, was it in January, late January?
That was like January 2nd, I think.
Oh my God, it is late January. Okay, yeah. All right. Well, my bad. Time means nothing anymore. So yes, first part of January, let's talk about that infographic that you put out there. Tell me again, what was the drop that you saw in LOs from those? And give me the qualifying points as to what you considered in that data selection.
Yeah, so folks on LinkedIn, they're all wondering, oh, what's the state of the industry? What's going on? I'm really curious to see how many LOs left this time. And so after seeing that posted from enough people, I was like, we have that data. Let me just go query it. And so I'm a data junkie, right? Data is the heart of everything we do. We're going to try to do the best job with data that we can. And that means, one, getting the data from lots of places, because you've got a few different sources of data. There's the real estate data bucket, there's a mortgage data bucket, and then there's the licensing bucket from the NMLS. We get this data from a bunch of different companies nationwide. We pull them all together, write our own algorithms on them, and present them in a way that makes sense. And so when people are wondering who left, I said, I've learned, did you know that for like to get your NMLS ID, you don't necessarily have to be a loan originator? I think there's like credit repair companies get NMLS IDs, things like that.
I have an NMLS ID number and I've never originated.
Exactly. So I was like, I don't want to just give people bad numbers and sensationalize what I've seen other people do, like a 50% drop. And I said, I'm not really sure about this because I said, you know what? Let's back it up. Let's see how many people did at least one loan in a certain year, then one loan the next year. And so when we ran these numbers, we saw in 2024, there were about 217,000 loan officers that did at least one loan. And in 25, there were about 195,000. In 23, there were 216,000 from that. And in 24, there's 195,000 left. So we've got to take a look backwards in time. And we saw a drop of about 10% of people. And so it's not as much as you think, because when you actually qualify the numbers in a way that makes sense, it's not as big, sensational, or scary. But then we took it a step further because we see that people kind of come into mortgaging cohorts, right? You're not just going to jump in and say, it was really easy to become a loan officer. Let me just try it for a week or two. You're going to get in because you believe strongly about building that foundation, building that business, building this career for yourself. You're going to try it for a year. You might try it again for another year, but you're not going to go in and out. And so it was important to us to look at people who were registered the year before as well, so we can analyze these cohorts. So
I love that.
Long answer of a bunch of data stuff, but that's how we do over here.
I mean, it's fascinating to me, and it's probably... No, I was going to qualify it and say maybe it's more so fascinating to me because my career, my entire job is focused around I need the volume of LOs, right? But I think it's just fascinating, period, because this is exactly what LOs should be looking at to know how they need to tweak and adjust the way that they're approaching their business, the way that they're going after different types of loans. I do think the opportunity really exists right now in diversification for a lot of loan originators. I don't think that you can just get by with just your realtor referral network. They really need to be diversifying right now and getting familiar with different product types, different consumer types, right? People get so scared of learning different products and going after different areas of the industry. So that to me is an area that I'm like, I hope people take,
you know, that this is why we have to make loans like mortgage sexy, because you see HGTV, you got realtors, it's all about the house, all that stuff, right? I bet if I queried the database right now, you'd see, oh, realtors, 80% of them or something have social media, and you get a mortgage, you're like, yeah, you got 25%. No one's speaking about it or doing anything cool or interesting about it. So there's different ways that you got to approach it, but you got to be more outward about it. And then there's just so many different things, so many different ways to create this opportunity for yourself.
It's hard to do on the mortgage side. And I feel like I can speak to that in a lot more niche of a way, and I'll elaborate. So I, like you, have my real estate license, right? I don't practice. Turns out I already have something that sucks up the majority of my time. But when there was a point in my life where I thought, okay, what I had, we'll just backstory it. This is the long version. We get to take it to the max. So the company that I had worked for for 12 years, sold in April of last year. I was their AVP. When that company sold, I thought for sure I was getting out of the industry, out of the NMLS education space, I should say. And my plan was to go back into real estate. I really loved being a realtor. So I figured, I'll just jump back into that space. Opportunity came along to start up Max, and I've been running with it ever since. And, you know, thank God that I have, because I really love this. I really love being the decision maker is what it really boils down to. But, you know, that's a control thing. We'll get into that on another podcast. But with that, when I was getting back into the realtor side of things, I could crank out videos all day long on real estate. Being now on the mortgage, more centric side of things, again, because I'm not an originator, but as a mortgage education provider, it's different. It's different. It is more challenging to find those areas to talk about, to really get people to care about this side of the industry. Everyone wants to look at home tours. Everyone wants to play, you know, Zillow looky-loo. No one's like, you know what would be really fun? I really wish I understood my credit utilization better so that when I go to apply for a mortgage, I know right where my standing is, right? Like, that's just not the way that it works. And so I think you're right. The opportunity is there. It is very strong. People do need to be better about putting themselves out there, particularly on social media. It's free. Like, why would you not do it? It's something that I'm even kind of doubling down on right now myself. But it is harder. It is harder.
You know what I hear a lot? I hear that everyone wants a home, but no one wants a loan. But I think we can get the money alone because of what you could do with it, right? Which is building wealth. And so when you're saying that, I'm thinking, yeah, people want their houses, but this day and age, everything's so expensive. I've started looking at myself. I'm like, I don't know how my kids are going to want to afford college to ever own a home. And so can I do it for them? I know of a way they can do it for themselves. And if loan officers are out there saying, oh, wow, guess what? You can buy a house because you can take 75% of that rental income and qualify. And so you don't even need any money. You're like, what? That's an option? Who's talking about that? Who knows about it best? The loan officer, right? So you're like, you can teach them about generational wealth building that they don't even think is possible. And then what I've learned working in this space and talking to loan officers every day, when they reach out, they're like, hey, Steve, can you show me how to look at certain census tracts? I have a list of them. I'm like, where did you get this list? They're like, oh, there's a... We have this so that we have special loans. I'm like, where does that even come from? And I come to learn that they've got special products for low, moderate income areas or majority minority census tracts. I'm like, oh, why don't you say so? You're telling me that people still can have lower interest rates without down payments and all this stuff, but it's only available through here. I'm like, why doesn't anyone else know about that? I'm a realtor. No one calls me with this information. You can make that sexy again. And then a few months later, they called me. They're like, guess what? It's not just about buying a home in those census tracts. It's whoever lives in the census tract. We can give them a better product to go anywhere they want. I'm like, this is crazy. Everyone needs to know about this stuff. So I think mortgage can be sexy.
I'm going to back you up on that. I'm going to work with you on it. We're going to bring in the phrase like mortgage can be sexy, and we might be the only two people hashtagging it, but you know what? We're going to try it. That is exactly what I mean though. When I say learning and diversification of the products that you offer, of your knowledge base, that is going to be the differentiating factor for so many LOs in 2025. I think there's very real opportunity there. I really do. Okay. Well, I want to get to a few more points because, again, I know like we're already running on borrowed time and I could just chit chat with you all day. Tell me about, and again, we're going to backtrack just a little bit. I saw on your LinkedIn profile that you worked at Victoria's Secret at one point. How was that?
I do know Victoria's Secret. It was a very...
Make mortgages sexy. We could get them as a sponsor. Oh, I love this already.
all of my past experiences all coming together now. This is why I'm here on this earth.
Here it is.
It was, I'm glad you read that. It was a very short-lived stint. I was just doing some shopping for my girlfriend at the time. And I go to the mall and I'm just, you know, messing around, joking around as I always do. And the store manager, I think it was Jolina, she looks at me, she says, "Hey, can you work here?" And I'm like, "I'll play along with this joke. Yeah, sure." She's like, "Okay, good. Come here tomorrow, dress to work." I said, "All right, let's go for it." So I get in a suit. I show up. She gives me like 20 minutes of training and puts me out on the sales floor. And I'm just on the beauty side of things. So the lotions, the perfumes. And that was a very short-lived stint. It was like a month because later on, after the holiday, she comes to me and says, "Steve, I didn't know you were 17. I was like, "Okay, I told you." It's like, "You can't work here. You're under 18. Yeah. I was like, "Well, there was that." But I made a lot of friends. I'll tell you, like, when you can get 50% off your purchase at Victoria's Secret, you make a lot of friends.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And what a great way to learn how to talk to people and to get them to warm up to you very quickly. Nothing will do that faster than retail. If you're good at retail, I worked in retail during the recession. It was like my third job, right? I would go there at night. Not a Victoria's Secret. I worked at a clothing shop. But you better believe, like, you learn how to hustle and you learn how to really win people over quickly if you're good at retail. So I love that. And then let's talk about, okay, now we're going to bring this back in. Data is coming soon with some updated numbers because the reinstatement period ends at the end of February. So we're going to have some updated figures of MLOs who are, maybe they didn't renew their license. Maybe they didn't think that they needed to in particular states, whatever the case may be. They only have this short window of time left before they actually have to reapply for the license rather than reinstate it. Any ideas how those numbers are going to change? I know that's very crystal ball-y to be like, what do you think? But do you see there being much of a shift in the data?
And I think the ones that have left have probably already left. And so I think we'll see more come back in with that late renewal process. And so hopefully you said, I think it's like a 2-month reinstatement process. So in March, we'll run those numbers and we'll see how many people just forgot.
Yeah, let's reconvene then, because there's going to definitely be data that I'm going to want to go through with you. As far as like your actual outlook for the industry over the next year, how are you feeling about it? Are you optimistic? What are your thoughts?
I'm very optimistic about it because people need a place to live. We know last year, it feels like a lot of people were waiting, hoping for the rates to drop. And now they've got the news like, here's your next 4 years in America. Here's how it's going to look like. And it looks to be like more the same. And so people are very impatient now that they know it's probably going to be like this for a while. They're just going to go on with their lives. They're going to buy homes. They're going to need help buying homes. They're going to need help from realtors and loan officers. And I feel very optimistic about the workload for those that remain, because there's another part of the story that we didn't talk about, but when loan officers leave, they're orphaning. We call them orphaned agents. And there's something cool that we've done with the data where you can actually see orphaned agents. So you find producing loan officers, see who their agents were. And now you know, like, oh, there's a wealth of opportunity with this person that does 50 loans or 50 buy sides a year. Their number one LO is gone. Who's going to fill that void? So I'm so optimistic for very many reasons.
Because you are a tech company and because you've done so much in the tech space, talk to me about your thoughts on AI. Because obviously AI is already a huge industry disruptor. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot more to come. What are your thoughts? So do you think AI is going to eventually replace LOs?
Replacement, definitely not, because we know that the home buying process is very emotional. This entire thing is based on emotions, and the robots we'll never be able to help in that capacity. So it's going to make things a lot more efficient. But when it comes time to buying the house, the borrower is always going to need a human to talk to and guide them through it. And so I don't see them replacing the realtors or the loan officers.
What do you think? I don't know. What do you get excited about for technology? What do you kind of see coming down the pike that has you excited about advancements, technological changes, things that LOs can utilize to make them more efficient?
Yeah, I am very excited and also scared about the things that you can do with AI. But what we're trying to do is make it so that LOs can connect with agents more easily, provide more meaningful value to that agent's job. And we're also working on some ways that we can improve that social connection through different media platforms of finding the realtors that are producing on social media and connecting with them and interacting with them. And so what we're trying to do with the technology is improve that relationship versus automating it.
Okay, very cool. I would love to know also, again, just as we're kind of winding down on this, let's take it one of two ways. Either what is the best advice that you've received professionally, personally? What is something that has really resonated with you and kind of changed your outlook on things? But then I want to add a second part to it of what advice would you give to others right now who are struggling right now?
Okay. I think we're going to have to bookmark this conversation so I can give it to my kids whenever it makes sense in case I do forget it.
Perfect.
But the bits of advice that I've had that have really stuck with me that I like to share with others is from the consulting days, it was managing expectations with your customers, clients, whoever it is. Mm-hmm. So under-promising and over-delivering is much better than the opposite. And then also one that I've had to learn, like the engineer in me has had to learn because it matters so much, is people don't remember what you say, but they remember how you make them feel. So those are two valuable things. And then on the startup side of building a technology company, I've learned that one, you got to build things that people want or else you're just going to spend a lot of time spinning your wheels. And then two, you got to build things that people will pay for. Otherwise you're going to be stuck working five jobs at a time. And so for anyone struggling, just remember those things. Remember why you got into it and remember or think about how you're going to make that difference in your life. It's not by doing all the things that everyone's saying, but doing the thing that makes sense, that you're focused on, that you can commit energy and time to and not cheat yourself from those opportunities. So just keep at it. Like your gut will inform you.
I think that goes back to what we were just saying too about how emotional of a process buying a home is. And you're so right. Maybe your customers don't remember everything that you told them about generational wealth building, right? But if they remember that you were there for them, that you took the time to be their advocate during this process, that is something that they will never forget. So I love that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I got to add on that one. Just bring the realtor hat back on. Like I've seen situations where even though the borrower's like, oh, I could save like 0.5% over there, but LaDonna's helped us along the way. I feel like I owe her. I'm like, you owe her a lot, but she's earned it. And that's awesome to see that that human connection can do so much for you.
Oh, side tangent to that. Something that I see as a huge, huge challenge coming up for LOs is going to be that certain servicers hold their borrowers' info now, and they are going to start really targeting those borrowers. When rates do drop, anyone who's bought a house over the last 2 years, when and if rates drop, let's say down back into even the low sixes, high fives, they are going to be targeting those borrowers like crazy. They already have their data. They already could make that process really quick for them. If you did a good enough job and you set yourself apart, hopefully you secured yourself as that voice of reason, as that resource to them. Mm-hmm. And now is the time where you really need to go back and solidify those existing relationships with those borrowers. Because again, you never know. Life is funny. It has a way of just shaking things up over the course of a couple of years. You don't know where those people may be. You don't know what their needs may be. So that just kind of triggered that in me.
Let's take this to the max, though.
Take it to the max.
Because you're not just going to stay in front and connected with your borrowers. You should do that. But now you get to tag team with the realtor. And so when you and that realtor that helped them buy that home are both giving them advice here and there, tag team, and that's going to build that rapport and that relationship where they're going to trust you for whatever is that next financial decision. So if that servicer comes in, that's great, but you want them to check back with you and the realtor, and that's going to make you look like a hero, makes the realtor look like a hero. And this is what helps you get loans for a lifetime. That's what I'm saying. Like, not just loans for this month, loans for a lifetime by building that trust network.
Bingo. Nailed it. Love it. Running a small business is so hard. Speaking from experience, what do you do to keep yourself sane? Like, what are Steven activities that are just, they are just for you for maintaining sanity?
Ooh, I've committed to being insane for the next couple of years. So don't do what I do, where I will commit to not sleeping. Like, we're sleeping 3 hours at a time here, there. And every third or fourth day, my body just collapses and like, you cannot shake me out of slumber. And then I reset and I go at it again.
That's the wrong way. That's the developer side of you.
It's what I've done. But if I do ever like need some sanity, you got your people. You know, I got close friends that I can call and I'm like, dude, I need help to just like, I need someone else to be there. That's not me, or, you know, play basketball or just be around like water. These are some nice things for me.
I love it. What's your birthday?
May 14th, Taurus, if that's the question.
That was the question. Because you said being around water. I'm a Scorpio with a Libra cusp. Water sign. Water is the most healing thing for me. So anyway, just triggered that.
Fun side story. I am terrible at swimming, but I'm great at life jackets. And so it helps me love water that much more.
Perfect. As long as you're good at securing a life jacket, you're solid. You're good. We talked about this earlier. No one anticipates getting into this industry. And especially, I think, on the more niche side of things like you and I have both done. If we were to go back in time and I was having this conversation with 7-year-old Steven, what would he tell me he wanted to be when he grew up?
Oh, 7-year-old Steven was a very good Asian kid who was awesome at math and was on his way to becoming a doctor, just like his parents wanted.
What? Really?
Oh, yeah, dude. I was doing like math competitions and everything. Oh, yeah. I was well on my way.
That is amazing. That is so cool. We'll branch into this at another time. But part of my love of data and numbers is that I'm numerically dyslexic. And I didn't know it until my senior year of high school. So we could not have been on more different paths. I was the worst at math, the absolute worst. And it wasn't until I had a teacher who discovered that if you just switched my numbers around, I would get things right. And after that, I fell in love with math. So it was a much later in life development for me. But now, same thing, total data nerd. Love it. Mm-hmm. Love
it. Look at where we are now, just helping loan officers, right?
Yeah, right. Living the dream. And again, you are so cool. Thank you for just being such a fun, down to earth, easy to talk to, super cool dude. Where can people find you? Where can they connect with you? How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, thanks for asking. LinkedIn is really easy and not a lot of people hit me up. So if you reach out, you might just get a personal response really soon because nothing's going on in my inbox.
I got one like that. So hit you up, hit you up. We're going to blow up that inbox. And the next thing you know, you're going to be like, LaDonna, I know that we said to do this, but everyone took me up on it. So, well, thank you. Thank you for doing this. Again, you're just the coolest. I can't wait to reconvene. We're going to do this again next month. I'm going to have you back. We're going to go over some updated data. So thank you for being here.
Thanks, LaDonna. Thank you for everyone who's made it to this far in this video. All your time, we appreciate it very much. Thanks for hanging out.
It was worth it. It was worth it.